Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the opportunity to once again to sit in your presence, to deliver your word. We thank you, Father God, that your angelic host are moving throughout the sanctuary, ministering to your people. And Father God, a sanctuary can be anywhere. So I thank you that your angels are all over ministering to your people, Father. Father God, bring us to the full revelation of what repentance is all about. And bring us to the full revelation of what you are requiring of your people. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the sermon is called Come Back. And that's why we sang that second song, The Come Back. We sing, if you're going to notice, every time we start out, we're going to sing it like this morning. We sang All My Hope Is in Jesus. We're going to start out the song service where but we're saying what we feel towards God. And so that's why we're going to be doing that. It's imperative that you understand that when you're singing a song, you're singing it unto the Father. And be careful what you're singing, because don't sing him a lie. All right? Get your hearts right before God and allow him to use you the way he needs to. The darkness is getting darker and darker. That's not negative, that's just fact. I'm believing that the light is becoming brighter and brighter in the people. I'm believing that God's people are doing the things they're supposed to be doing so that the darkness can be expelled. But only you know what is going on in your life. All right, God talks about takeover. So I said takeover is the act of seizing or appropriating authority or control. Now, I might have a little struggle here this morning. Sister Nancy made a statement in one of our meetings that it's hard when I have everything in caps for them to work with it. So I experimented today by not putting things in caps, but writing like everybody else does. So if you see me going like this, in fact, I can see that better than I can see this. I will try to do this with dignity this morning, all right? Now, God speaking, this whole thing is God. God said, you are entering into a season of extreme takeover. And what did we say takeover was? The act of seizing or appropriating authority or control. So you are entering into a season of extreme takeover. The church will be taking back the ground they have allowed the enemy to steal. And all of heaven will be on alert for instructions from where? The church. There has been a great void for a decade now, and I'm getting ready to fill that void with my holy presence. You shall see a comeback of the church like never before, and all will tremble at the awesomeness of the heavenly realm that will be engulfing them on all sides. Are you hearing what God is saying? There will be no stone left unturned. I am on the move, and I will not stop until all of heaven's agenda is fulfilled. God said, he is on the move, and he will not stop until all of heaven's agenda is fulfilled. Time marches on and waits for no one. I am on the move, and move I shall. Nothing will be able to stop this mighty move of my sovereignty. Now let's stop there. We're hearing about this is a season of repentance, but God told me yesterday that the body of Christ is not truly repenting. They do not understand the lateness of the hour. They do not understand the seriousness of the hour. And the body of Christ is still in trouble. He talked to me a lot about that yesterday, or it might have been Friday, about the state that the church is in. The church is saying one thing with their lips, but doing another thing with their actions. And he is upset with the church. So listen carefully to what he's saying to you this morning. God is not playing games, and he's tired of the church not doing what is right. You know, with David, when he repented, he never did that sin ever again. He did a few sins, but he never repeated the same sin twice. So David was a man with true repentance, and that's why God loved him so desperately. Even though he sinned and did dumb things, David, when he repented, he fully, totally, completely repented. And the body of Christ does not do that. The body of Christ keeps going back into the same sins over and over and over again. God says, my church has been stale and stagnant long enough. There is absolutely no more room for pride or self-indulgence. The enemy has had an extreme takeover of my body of believers. Now he said, the enemy has had an extreme takeover of my body of believers, but all that is coming to a sudden screeching halt. His maneuvers will no longer work with the church. There is coming upon the scene the biggest landslide of souls that the world has ever witnessed. Auditoriums will be filled to overflowing of the wonder of who I am, and praise will reach to the very pinnacle of heaven, and even the angelic choir will join in with this marvelous outburst of praise. He said, auditoriums will be filled to overflowing of the wonder of who I am, and praise will reach the very pinnacle of heaven, and even the angelic choir will join with this marvelous outburst of praise. God said, you will see new faces in the praise rooms. You will hear new sounds, sounds that you have never dreamed of coming forth from my children. Instant, spontaneous combustion of love, adoration, and worship for the heavenly Godhead. Worship in song and dance. My children will lose themselves in total abandonment of dance. The Israelite children knew of this abandonment, and they worshiped me with all of their beings. That doesn't happen in the house of God anymore. That same worship is about to break out in my houses of true worship. My children will have a new song that bursts forth suddenly out of nowhere, and all will join in with the heavenly choir and lose themselves in total abandonment, worshiping the triune Godhead. Let's read that again. I noticed this morning that Sister Deborah was over there standing, singing, and all of a sudden she just run up and grabbed a flag, and I saw the anointing in her as she was flagging that flag. That instant praise came upon her. So he said, that same worship is about to break out in my houses of true worship. My children will have a new song that bursts forth suddenly out of nowhere, and all will join in with the heavenly choir and lose themselves in total abandonment, worshiping the triune God. There is a song that if you're really singing in the Spirit, praising in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, there is a song that will rise up within you and just burst forth. Twice now that's happened to me, but twice it was snuffed out because people in here are not praising and worshiping in the Spirit. And you snuffed out those two times that God really wanted to burst forth in an abandonment of praise and worship. Now, Exodus 15, chapter 15, verse 1 says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. And this is a song they sang for the Father after they crossed over. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. Who they given all the praise to? God. They weren't talking about what they were feeling or what God had done for them. They were praising God for what he did for them. All right? And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. See, they were telling him what God was doing. You guys don't know how to praise the Father in spirit and in truth. You always want to sing songs about, oh, I was a sinner, now I'm set free. You don't ever want to praise God for what he's done. I know that's saying you set me free, but you don't stay free. It's time, church, that you become a true living church. It's time you really worship the Father in truth and in spirit. And it's time that you do what you sing. Then they go on singing, you blew with your hand. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth a people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone till your people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. I don't see y'all dancing in here. You stand there, boom, 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 but you don't move. Why doesn't your whole body move? Why is it just your hand banging or shaking a tambourine? Because you don't really believe that God has done anything for you. You're not a true witness. I'm just saying what I'm hearing God say. You're not a true witness for him. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. You say, now I'm free. Once I was bound, but now I'm free. Why don't you act like you're free? Why aren't you doing like Mary and them did? Why aren't you dancing and praising the Lord and letting everybody see that you're really free? Because you're not free. Something you're saying with your lips, but it's not you. If you're truly, this is a season of repentance, which it is, and you're truly repentant, you need to start changing. I'm not even going to apologize just because I didn't know how God was going to do this, but he needs to get your attention because the hour is late. God says, church, you have seen nothing yet. This comeback will bring with it my glory that will permeate the entire universe. All will see and know that they have been seated in heavenly places with the Father, and all will know that I am that I am. Church, you have seen nothing yet. This comeback will bring with it my glory that will permeate the entire universe, and all will see and know that they have been seated in heavenly places with the Father, and all will know that I am that I am. Who's this all? It's supposed to be the church, but is the church really going to see this? Or is it going to be the world that God's going to bring into the house of God? You need to get your little wheels working up here, and you need to start understanding that you're playing the game that's going to take you out. I tell you a truth, church, eye has not seen nor ear heard what I am bringing upon this land. I'm going to put on a fireworks display like no 4th of July you have ever seen. God, and I looked and God spoke this back to me 15 years ago. He told me this very same identical word right here. So he's still doing his 4th of July thing. And I just can't wait for it. Great outburst of my glory will fill the entire atmosphere, and I mean the entire atmosphere. Great outburst of what? His glory. will fill what? The entire atmosphere. And I mean the entire atmosphere. The evil will tremble at the biggest display that heaven has ever produced. The sinners will scream out of fear. The lukewarm church will repent for their disobedience. And I say unto you, many will lose their very souls when this great day of my glory invades the earth. So if you're waiting for the glory to invade, you might be one that loses your soul. If you aren't changing right now, are you going to be able to change when the glory hits? So many, God said, so many standing in the valley of decision will instantly come into the fullness of who I am. And they will give their lives to me. This is talking about the unsaved. Children, children, all you will be required to do is show up. God just wants you to be there, and then he's going to work through you. But before he can work through you, you've got to get it together. You have to truly repent. So many standing in the valley of decision will instantly come into the fullness of who I am, and they will give their lives to me. Children, all you will be required to do is show up. Then my glory will proceed to do the great and mighty works. No one has seen this display before, absolutely no one. And Joel 3:14 says, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let me stop there. So, you know, I've been God's been trying to clean up my house. So for 2 days, I was in a terrible battle with the devil. And then I was told something last night that really upset me. And so I went before God. Well, I prayed about it all night and went before God this morning. He said, daughter, do not cloud the atmosphere over you with doubt and unbelief. See, the enemy was trying to bring doubt and unbelief on me. And I guess I was giving into it because God said, daughter, don't cloud the atmosphere with doubt and unbelief. And then he went on to tell me that all was well. But still, no, I'm telling you, this is how the enemy is fighting you. He's trying to make you believe that you've not done what you're supposed to be doing and that what you have done is wrong. If you're walking in the Spirit, you need to know that you know that you know that you're doing everything that God's told you to do. And you have absolutely nothing to fear. So don't start with this doubt and unbelief. Years ago, God told me, daughter, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So as when God told me that this morning, I think, okay, devil, you tried this 15 years ago. It didn't work. Now you're trying it again. And because right before God's getting ready to do his mighty move. So what is the enemy doing to you right before God is getting ready to use you? Because God told me this morning in prayer that the enemy is trying to take you out because he's getting ready to use you mightily. So you have to be a keeper of your own soul. I had to go to the Father and pray and find out what was going on. Are you listening here? Quit trying to get somebody else to walk out your salvation. Are you listening? God said, no longer will the church be chasing vain imaginations, for they will see the splendor of heaven and they will fall down and worship the true God. All, and I mean all, vain imaginations will suddenly disappear, and all will finally understand the truth of what my word has been teaching you. No longer will the church be chasing vain imaginations, not the world. So what is a church doing if they're chasing after vain imaginations? Where are you really in your walk with God? You know, it's really a late hour to be even have God to say this now, because he should be just given us, you know, we should be ready and just him be able to use us immediately. But the church is not yet there. This thing that they had, what was it called? The return. That was a wonderful thing. But the body of Christ should already know everything that they were talking about. It just blew my mind. The body of Christ needed to know this stuff years ago. God said, I have been telling about this comeback for a decade now, and it's finally here. All the persecution you have had to endure will finally be worth it all. You will be just like Paul. It is worth it all just to see his face full of glory. In Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He's lost everything he has, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. He'd rather have Christ than anything else. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul said he doesn't care what he has to lose as long as he keeps Christ. You don't see that in the body of Christ anymore, do you? It's material, 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 isn't it? Not about Christ, is it? It's all about big churches, you know, and positions and everything else. And nobody's really preaching Christ. Well, that's not true. There's not many that's preaching Christ. Not many. You know, I made a statement the other day when I was saying, you know, we asked God to give us kids, you know, to torment us. And I, you know, that's bothered me. But God said, it's the truth. He said, I wanted fellowship. You know, he wanted fellowship. So he created Adam and then Eve. And then he said, then the children started coming and all they've done is caused him heartache and pain. You never know why you say anything, do you? But he said, it's happening to him right now. All right. All right. Where am I at? God said, you are asking, what is this great comeback? And I thought this was neat what he said. What is this great comeback? He says, it's all about returning back to the roots of your salvation. And you can look at that in Zechariah 9:12 and Revelation 2, 4, and 5. He said, it's all about finally understanding that my word is truth and a lamp unto your feet. Psalm 119, 105. It's all about understanding pain and suffering for Christ's sake. This is talking about the great comeback. We're going to understand this stuff. Isn't that a shame? He has to have a comeback. 1 Peter 4:13 is where that's at. It's all about dying out to self and understanding that it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ. And so Galatians 2:20 tells us that. It is all about understanding that when you have done all to stand, stand. Ephesians 6:13. It's all about finally understanding the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. It's all about finally understanding the fullness of time that my word tells you about. Galatians 4:4 through 5. And it is a shame we have to have a comeback to be reminded of this. This should be a daily thing with us. We should understand all this thing every second of every day. God said, children, it is time to rise up and declare the salvation of the Lord. It is time to shout it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. All must understand and know that I am for them and not against them. They must understand that I have a deep, everlasting love for all peoples, not just a select few. He said, I desire that no man perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, he's talking to the body of Christ, who has been in existence for quite some time. People sitting in churches for 50, 60 years, and still not truly repentive. Just playing games with God, and it's not working. It's time the body of Christ wakes up to evil and selfishness and backbiting in the house of God. Where am I at? Psalm 103:17. We read that. Restoration has truly begun in the house of the Lord, and it will manifest itself in all the world. It is surely coming home time for my body of believers that have stood the course of time and come forth prevailing. Restoration has truly begun in the house of the Lord, and it will manifest itself in the world. It is surely coming home time for my body of believers that have stood the course of time and came forth prevailing. Nothing will hinder this comeback. It is an all-encompassing comeback. And all-encompassing means including or covering everything or everyone, and comprehensive. Comprehensive is all-inclusive, complete, full, full scale. Nothing is going to miss this comeback. It's going to touch everybody. This comeback is not for just one spot. It will travel all across this universe. There will not be one stone that will not be touched by this comeback. The entire earth has been groaning for this season of complete restoration of all things. The time is here, and it is now. So rejoice. And Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Look around about you. The church is empty once again. People have used COVID as an excuse to stay out of the house of God because they're looking for an excuse. They found a good one. God is not pleased with this. They will congregate just like whenever you, with the thing that happened Saturday. I looked, there's a lot of people that were not 6 feet apart, who were not wearing masks. But that was okay. But don't go into the house of God. Don't go in there and fellowship with your Father, for that is your salvation. You can go to a bar, you can go anywhere you want, but don't go into the house of God. Because after all, you're going to spread disease. The disease is compromise. And the body of Christ is compromised long enough. And it's time we quit compromising. And it's time we do the things that God's calling us for to do. John, where am I at here? John, chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said to Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to Peter, "Tend up my sheep." Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Truly, Jesus said, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This Jesus said to show by what kind of death Peter was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Your life with Christ is not going to be easy. If you look at the Word of God from beginning to end, there was always a battle for the children of God. Always the children of God were always put down, always persecuted, always killed. But they still, the true children of God still followed Christ no matter what they had to go through. They didn't have big, beautiful mansions. They didn't have six cars sitting in their driveway or mules or whatever they drove then, or camels. But they served God. They had to hide in caves. They had to, you know, hide all the time in order to even read the word, but they still served God, knowing that if they were found, they would be instantly persecuted, killed. The body of Christ today wants to be pampered. They want everything to be hunky-dory. They don't want to have to suffer not one bit. They just want to be pampered and blessed. It's not going to happen. Jesus himself, when he walked the earth, they were always trying to prove he wasn't Jesus. They're always trying to kill him. They're always trying to do something to him. So why do you complain because you have to go through a little bit of misery? Why do you complain if other people don't like you because you serve God? Why do you complain whenever the devil's trying to destroy you, even through your family? When you're serving God with all your heart, why do you keep saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen? He's allowing it to happen because you are professing to be his child. The word of God tells us we're going to suffer for Christ's sake. Isn't that what it says? I think it's time the body of Christ grows a backbone. I think it's time you quit going out there and pampering the devil all over the place. It's time you grow a backbone and start serving the true and living God. We are not a true witness to the lost. We aren't. You see the same junk in the house of God that you see in the world. Leadership is full of sin and degradation. And you want people to come and serve the God that you serve. They're already serving him out there. You aren't showing him the true God. It's time, body of Christ, that we get it together. Now, it's past time. It's past time. You who have sat in this church is way past time. You should be over your sin nature a long time ago. The devil shouldn't be able to take you and run you through the coals all the time. Like somebody was saying, I think on that return, Chris was a Smith Wigglesworth and opened a door and it was a devil and he's always just you and slammed the door in his face. But how many of us does, when we open doors, the devil say, come on in. I've been waiting for you. I'm bored. I need a little bit of excitement, devil. Let you and I play a game here. That's the way it goes. And parents, you definitely don't want to ruffle your children's hair and make them do what's right. After all, they'll get upset with you. Come on. I'm hearing God say it's time you get the true nature of Christ in you. And it's time you get the boldness you should have had a long time ago. And just like Peter, God gave me this scripture 2 years after I was born again. I didn't understand it then, but I sure do now. And when he told Peter, he said, you used to do what you wanted to do, Peter, but as you get older, you're not going to be able to do what you want to do because you're going to be persecuted when you follow me. See, you still want to do what you want to do. You want everybody to like you. You want to have that quick fix from the devil. And that's not what a child of God gets. The child of God gets a lot of persecution. And people will say, she shouldn't be preaching like that. Well, I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to preach the word because when I stand before my Father in heaven, I'm not going to have him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I don't know you. Come on. It's comeback time. It's time you come back to what God is all about. Some of you never found out what he's all about but if you find out what he's all about, well, then you're held accountable for that. I'm sorry to tell you, but just sitting in this house 5 minutes, you're accountable. You're asking what this comeback is all about. There you go. You're asking, what is this great comeback? It is all about returning back to the roots of your salvation. And that's the important thing. It is all about finally understanding that my word is truth and a lamp unto your feet. It is all about understanding pain and suffering for Christ's sake. It is all about dying out to self and understanding that it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ. It's all about understanding that when you have done all to stand, stand. It's all about finally understanding the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's all about finally understanding the fullness of time that my word tells you about. Is that the last one? And then he said, children, it is time to rise up and declare the salvation of the Lord. It is time to shout it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. All must understand and know that I am for them and not against them. They must understand that I have a deep, everlasting love for all peoples, not just for a few. I desire that no man perish. That is what you should be taking to a lost and dying world. But what are you truly taking to a lost and dying world? A powerless father? A loveless father? You're going to have to understand, too, that we are definitely in the times when we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus, and he's not going to come back soon. You know, I don't know the day, hour, time. He could come back this second if he wanted to, but, you know, from what God is saying, it's, you know, he's not coming back tomorrow. And so you have a work to do because that harvest has not yet been brought in, and you can't bring in a harvest if you're not a harvester. A harvester is one who has sold himself out totally and completely to God. You know, I was dealing with an infidel this past weekend, and the devil plays games. And I said to somebody, you know, a smooth talker immediately puts a red flag up in me. Anybody talks real smooth, they are not who they claim they are. So I immediately took this to the Father, and he let me know who this person really was. And so you know what? God said, let him go. Let him go. You can tell me I'm not godly. You can tell me I'm not loving. I don't care what you tell me. Whenever God shows me you're not going to serve him and tells me to let you go, I'm letting you go. There's more souls out there that truly want him. More souls out there who are looking for salvation and don't know where to find it. But we're too busy working on one person who doesn't even want Christ. They're just trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They've sold themselves out totally and completely to the enemy. And the enemy is using them to deceive even the very elect. But don't come to me talking smooth, because right away I know you are not who you say you are. And you all need to get that in your spirit too. Ask God, let me see their fruits right away. Don't be carried down the road for a couple years. Let me see their fruit right now. So, are you still a fruit checker? I hope so. God always was a fruit checker. And, you know, don't be afraid to get upset with somebody. Read your word. How many times that Jesus got upset with the Pharisees? Let them call you whatever they want to call you. Sin is sin. And when you reject God, you reject God. And you yourself have no responsibility to try to get them to unreject. All your job is to do is to give them the word. Then they have to take that word and apply it to their... Isn't that what each one of you did? You heard the word, right? And then so you start applying the word to yourself and getting God to wash you clean from inside out and to get all the junk. Isn't that what you did? Well, then don't try to make somebody else believe you have to wash them daily and change your diaper and their bottle and everything else. That's not your job. See, because God told me this a long time ago, I was trying to do that, trying to get everybody saved. And God said, if I can't get them saved, the Holy Spirit can't get them saved, what makes you think you can get them saved? He said, walk away. Walk away. But make sure that you're a true child of God, that you have good fruit, that you are a true witness to Christ. And make sure you are not a stumbling block by compromising your walk with God. I don't want to get in the evening service. I just did a little bit. God has spoken to us this morning. What are you going to do about it? You know, when you stand before God, all these things, there's no way I could think this stuff up. When you stand before God, you're going to have no excuse, because he himself spoke to you. He himself gave you a warning. He himself gave you love and encouragement. What are you going to say to him? I didn't believe your servant. Well, then why were you sitting under that servant? Come on. If I could do this, I could write books. I can't write a first line yet. And y'all know I don't have charisma. Definitely don't have charisma. Come on. My son-in-law said to me for the first time yesterday, he said, you know, Mom, he said, I used to always say I like a fiery preacher that runs up and down and shouts and everything. He said, but, you know, I've learned to like your preaching better. He said, because you look right at a person and they know. They know that you're talking to them. So, you know, if you're trying to use all the fanfare, quit it. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. And you be living the life first. Then you can tell somebody else what they have to do. All right. Well, Father, I surely do thank you this morning for the word that you taught us. The beautiful word, come back. It means you haven't dropped us totally and completely. That you're still working, cleansing, purifying. And I'm asking right now, Father God, that you touch the people who have heard this message this morning. Let them receive the truth for what it is, the truth. And Father God, the next time they bow their knee to repent, it is true repentance and just not an act of the flesh. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God said the altar's open this morning for fire. He wants to place the fire of heaven upon you so that when you repent, that fire will eat up, burn up all this chaff that's in you, and it won't be able to come back again. So if you want God to do that, place that fire upon you that you will no longer be one that you repent and sin and repent and sin and repent and sin. But whenever you say, God, I really want rid of this mess, then he's going to take it. And that's what the altar's open for this morning.